James mentioned the words of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, and he gave that statement about 130 years thereabouts before Cyrus came on the scene of history. That's called prophecy. A prophecy is history that has not yet happened. Of course, certain prophecies have been fulfilled, like all the prophecies relating to the Lord Jesus. But there are also prophecies in the scriptures which clearly have not yet been fulfilled. I'd like you to turn with me to three sections in Isaiah. Let's go to chapter 42 of Isaiah. We're going to take our time and go slowly. Isaiah chapter 42 and look at verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 42 and 9. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to graven images. Here's the verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass. New things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And they're recorded, of course, in Scripture, aren't they? Go on to chapter 44. We look at three verses there. Chapter 44, verses 6 through to 8. Chapter 44, 6 to 8. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Let him declare it and set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people, that's Israel, and the things that are coming shall come, fulfilling prophecy. Let them show these to them. Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. Things that are coming shall come. Prophecy will be fulfilled. Finally, go to chapter 46. Two verses. Chapter 46. These are very strong ones. Chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. He's the first and the last. He has always been, and he will be right through into eternity future, we might call it that. He declares the end of all things, even from the very beginning, and they're all written in Scripture. Go to 2 Peter in the New Testament with me as well, please. Would you? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll read through from verse 16 to the end of the chapter. Here's the Apostle Peter writing. He'd seen the wonderful transfiguration of the Lord Jesus with James and John. 2 Peter 1, verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and were eyewitnesses of his majesty, transfiguration time. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, the coming of the Lord. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, you cannot make it mean what you prefer to make it mean. Got to be the scriptural reference. For prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Prophecy cannot be interpreted with your own private thinking, just as you want it to be. No, not at all. I'm going to give you a few details and a few statistics, and I'm going to go through this quite slowly as well. A man called J. Barton Payne in the United States wrote a book, well, it was an encyclopedia of Bible prophecy, actually. He must have worked at it for many years, indeed. In the scriptures, there are 737 specific events prophesied. And they're contained in, as he said, 8,480 verses of the Bible. Each of these 737 verses are prophesied in at least one place, but some of them in many other places. And these, of course, these prophecies are found in different places, and they all link up together. And out of these 737 different prophecies in the scriptures, two-thirds have already been fulfilled, which means, of course, one-third have yet to be fulfilled. And of course, so much has happened in the past. What God said would happen to Israel, the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, all prophesied in the scriptures, especially Isaiah and Micah. But many of those relate to events that even Jesus spoke himself, like Matthew 24 and 25, Mark 13 and Luke 24, about future times. And of course, they've not yet been fulfilled. But they will be fulfilled in their due course when God appoints it, as he's the Almighty, and he decides when. They do remain to be fulfilled. But they will be fulfilled as surely as those already in the past have been fulfilled were. So the ones in the future will be so. Now that's approximately 80 to 82%. That's those who have been fulfilled. That's about 590 have already been fulfilled, which leaves 147 yet to be fulfilled. The percentage out is about 80%. That 80 to 20% will be fulfilled when God plans it. The Father and the Son, when they plan it. They have not yet been fulfilled, but they will be, as surely as those who have been fulfilled were. That's the uniqueness of the living Word of God. They will be fulfilled precisely and accurately when the time comes. So in other words, prophecy fulfilled in the past, prophecy yet to be fulfilled in the future, according to the scriptures, will eventually result in 100% fulfillment. That is the Word of the living God. Not our own opinions and not like that. God has spoken and it will come to pass. The Old Testament itself contains over 300 references to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them, of course, have already been fulfilled, but a lot have not. For example, we look at it in a moment about the events concerning the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. In 24 hours, it covered 61 different prophecies. Well, it was written of him. 61 prophecies. Sorry, it goes from his birth to his burial. It goes from his birth to his burial. 61 prophecies relating to Jesus. And they're all fulfilled, of course they were. So we have the clear scriptural credentials of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Prophesied so much in the Old Testament about him, of course. And you can go right back to Genesis 3:15. Would you go back there with me? Because that is the first prophecy in the Bible. Genesis chapter 3:15. Let's go back there if you would like to follow with me. I'm sure that's one you know well. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. This occurred from the fall of Adam, Eve, and the curse upon the earth and the ground. Chapter 3 and verse 15, we read like this. It says, the Lord speaking, and he's speaking to the enemy. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. What's all that about? The woman here, if you later check it over with Revelation 12, the woman is Israel. You check that out in Revelation 12. It's certainly not the church, not Mary either. So the enmity between Satan and Israel, we know that's clearly true, and the church too, between your seed, who is Satan's seed? Well, ultimately it will be the personal Antichrist when he comes on the scene. Her seed, the woman's seed, Israel's seed, born of Mary, is the Messiah. Enmity between Satan and the Lord Jesus? Well, we know that very clearly in the temptations and beyond. He shall bruise your head, Satan himself, the cause of sin and the resultant of unbelieving man in hell. When the Lord Jesus came, he dealt with all that. And he defeated Satan at the cross in that respect. You shall bruise his heel. Satan, you will cause the death of Jesus in God's planning, of course. This is the first prophecy in the Bible. It's a remarkable one because it spans so much history and time. We know that very well. There was a man, he may well still be alive now, Professor Stoner. And I have a copy of his writings. And he wrote in a magazine published by the Moody Bible Press in America, a very good Bible college. And he spoke and wrote this in a magazine called Science Speaks as well. And this is what he says. He's a mathematician, of course, and so a bit of a scientist. And he says, the following probabilities show that coincidence is ruled out concerning the fulfillment of prophecy. Professor Stone has said that by using the modern science of probability and mathematics, And he just considered only 8 prophecies to begin with concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are well over 300. In fact, it's been thought of by a man called Canon Liddon, 332 prophecies as it relates to Jesus alone, let alone world events. And he worked it out mathematically, that if one man in his lifetime, we know the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilled only 8 prophecies, the mathematical probability is quite incredible. It's 1 in 100 quadrillion. That's 1, for mathematicians, 1 in 10 to the power of 70. In other words, 17 noughts after a 1. Probability of 8 prophecies being fulfilled by one man in his lifetime. That's staggering. But he gave a very practical example. He said, if you consider the whole of the surface of the state of Texas in the United States, and if you cover the whole state of Texas 2 feet deep, say in a 10p, if you did that, those coins, 1 in 10 quadrillions, 1 with 17 noughts, all those quadrillion of 10p pieces. And then he said, if you take one of them and put a blob of ink or a blob of paint on that one, and then you get someone to hide it in all the others in that state of Texas, 2 feet deep, and ask a person to go and straight away pick up that one coin marked as 1 in 10, and yet Jesus fulfilled all those prophecies. And that's only 8. He went a bit further. He said, now if you take 48 prophecies, remember the 332, if you take 48 prophecies, he worked it out mathematically, it would be 1 in 10 to the power of 157. That's a 1 with 157 noughts on it, and that will go around this room more than once. That is an impossible number to try and think about. Now that's only 48. Now Jesus fulfilled, well, will fulfill. He has fulfilled many. There's a lot to be fulfilled, but he will. 332, not 8, not 48, 332. That's a staggering. It's beyond human comprehension. Bit of a statistics, I know, but that just shows you the incredible of the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling all these prophecies. Why study Bible prophecy? Because God has written it in his word and he's given it to you and me. So he says, know it. It takes time to do it. So all I'm saying here is that this proves the accuracy of scriptures as the word of the living God. It makes this a living word, doesn't it? Without any doubt. 2 Timothy 3:16, you all know that, of course. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. And you know the rest of the verses. All scripture. Not a bit of it, not part of it, all of it. Inspired by God. Word is inspired over the Greek means God breathed. He breathed into the writers. So they knew his word. The problem today is that Christians lack this Bible knowledge. And they're impoverished through the lack of it. We can't grasp very much. I agree with those tremendous statistical mathematical statement, but it just shows that the Lord is the Almighty. Like we read in Isaiah 42, 44 and 46. I know the end from the beginning, and I'm telling you about it. This is what is quite remarkable. There was one man called Wilbur Smith, and he made a tremendous statement. This is what he said. It is my own calculations, be it approximate, that there are about 165,000 words of predictive prophecy in the Bible. 165,000 words. You must have spent a time working that one out. Of predictive prophecy in the Bible. Quite astonishing, isn't it? In the scriptures, there's God's plans for the nation of Israel, God's plans for the nations, plural, and God's plans for the church. And he's given us so much detail there, there's no question about that. So much detail. This is the work and statements of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Particularly, one might say, the study of Daniel in the book of Revelation highlights the truth and the importance of Bible prophecy. And those scriptures read in Isaiah will illustrate the certainty, not only what did take place, that's history now, but it was prophecy then, history to us now in this day, but the certainty of the prophecies yet to be fulfilled will be fulfilled in God's timing, as we know very well. Some of the things that come out through the study of Bible prophecy, and I'll read them out slowly to you. Prophecy illustrates the sovereignty of God, and all that he surveys, and all that he's planning.
and the whole breadth of the life of the world. Secondly, the scriptures reveal his predicted pattern and ordered in prophetic purpose and world events centered around the Son of God, of course. Thirdly, God holds the world, as we already heard earlier this evening, in his control. And that is especially the Middle East and Europe. It also includes false religion. He's in control of it all. As he warned us of that, is coming and has been for a long time. And because of these important scriptures and the prophecies, he says, I've had them written for you. I want you to know them. You know the scriptures, and as we know the Lord, and you will never be deceived by anything which is false. There are many warnings in scripture, forewarning us of certain things that are to take place. And of course the warnings were through the history of the church, and even the warnings to the nation of Israel by the good prophets against the false prophet. I know that there are many people in the world that are perplexed and they're very concerned, and even they're shaken by world events that suddenly come, natural and political. Around us, we know of famine, we know of earthquakes. There's an earth tremor near Croydon, I believe, a couple of days ago. We know of these disasters. I don't need to remind of those that have been the recent events, terrible as they are. Disease is rampant in many places. Natural disasters, we know. Many refugees from wars, in Africa in particular, and the consequent events. But the Lord is saying, I'm sovereign, I'm in control. The world has no knowledge of this in God's revelation. So let's just summarize for the moment, for now. A large part of scripture is prophecy. It's one verse in four. 25% of the Bible is Bible prophecy. That's a staggering amount. Which means if anyone is preaching the word of God and teaching it to Christians, to have a right balance of Bible teaching, 1 in 4 on Bible prophecy. But is it? No, it is not. And those who teach the word fail. Now, I know the reason for that. Because they misinterpret, misunderstand, and misrepresent the word of God to many. We know that. I'm not going into that now. Sadly, it is a fact that the prophetic scriptures, yes, I know it can be exciting. It can be alarming as well, but are sadly greatly neglected. We see God has not left us without a witness. This is a witness. And he inspired and moved by the Holy Spirit those who wrote for him. We have a Bible with 66 books written by 40 authors over 1,500 years, but it seems like one book written by one person, that's two, the Holy Spirit. There's nothing haphazard going on in the world, nothing that catches the Lord napping as if he didn't know what was going on. There is a precise pattern, and he's working to that prepared plan. So we're encouraged. And I'd like you just to turn to one verse in the book of Revelation at the very beginning. Revelation chapter 1, if you go there, please, and look at verse 3. Revelation 1 and verse 3. Again, this book is sadly neglected, but it's also misinterpreted. And that's often why people don't read it, because there's so many so-called interpretations. No, there's only one, the literal one, even though there's symbols there. In Revelation chapter 1, read verse 3. And this speaks for the whole of the book, actually. Blessed is he who reads. If you read the book of Revelation, you're blessed. And those who hear the words of this prophecy being taught or preached. And you keep those things that are written in it. You believe it and adjust to it. For the time is near. Well, it was when John wrote this in AD 96, as he thought so. But God is not working to our own ideas of time, but to his own plan as well. A tremendous amount of prophecies in scripture. And I want to end by saying this. Out of 1,845 verses in the Old Testament which refer to Christ's rule, as you know, many of them have already been fulfilled, but there are many yet to come, even from the Old Testament, prophetic statements. 17 books of the Old Testament, and there are 39 of them, as you know, but 17 of those 39 give prominence to prophetic events. In the New Testament, there are 318 references to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's that one thought. 23 out of the 27 books of the New Testament, 116 chapters, give prominence to that event. If Christians miss it or don't bother, something wrong somewhere. For every prophecy concerning Christ's first coming, there are 8 referring to his second coming. Now those are a few statistics this evening, perhaps worth our appetite. The importance of the study of Bible prophecy.